Introduction. George M. Eller, to put it mildly, does not agree with what is known as the free offer, and he makes no bones about it. Indeed, he has written a book on the subject, The Free Offer and the Call of the Gospel, in which we are told he has set out sound reasons for rejecting the free offer method of evangelizing, and given solid scriptural principles by which our commission to preach the gospel of sovereign grace to every creature can properly be met. Very well. Let me declare an interest. I am an advocate of the free offer, and I too have written about it. For this reason, Ella has had me, as one among many, in his sights. But I welcome his attention. I am delighted to think my words have provoked thought. And if my arguments are wrong, I need to be told and put back on the straight and narrow. What we all want, surely, is to be biblical, and in furthering this aim, reasoned, loving argument with those who do not see eye to eye with us can do no harm at all. No harm? Quite the opposite. Informed and constructive criticism can do nothing but good. Let's have a bit more iron sharpening iron. We can't have too much of sound reasons and solid scriptural principles. Ella, I freely acknowledge, wrote his book out of deep concern for the glory of God, for the defense of the preaching of the gospel, and for the advance of the salvation of sinners. I am convinced he desired to further these aims by dealing with what he sees as an erroneous practice based upon a defective theology. I admire his intention. It is mine in publishing this reply. Having said that about Ella's book, in my opinion it falls far short of its claims, does not represent a serious attempt at coming to grips with a vital question, and fails to set out a reasoned account of his own position. For a start, he never even defined what he was supposed to be criticizing. Just to assume what he was attacking is cavalier. Furthermore, Ella made sweeping allegations without justification, sometimes using excessive language. More than once he dismissed the views of those he was censuring, but did so wrongly by association. Speaking for myself, he has not dealt fairly with what I have said, and has attributed beliefs to me which I do not hold and have never expressed. He used caricature. He repeatedly dragged red herrings across the track, taking his readers into areas of no relevance to the question in hand. Above all, when it came to expounding scripture, the time and care which Ella showed was abysmally small. All this is grievous, a sad distraction, and leaves a crucial issue cloaked in fog. Nor is it the first time. Consequently, I have decided to reply. The free offer is too important to be left as it is in Ella's book. But I will deal with only a part of what Ella said. Whilst I am not the only person whose views he has attacked, I use the word advisedly, I cannot speak for others. There are sections in Ella's work which have no connection with me, sections in which he has criticized views I do not hold. I will not concern myself with such. What I will do is come to the crux of the matter. There is only one question to be answered. Is the free offer biblical? Let us begin at the beginning. What are we talking about? What was Ella supposed to be refuting? What is the free offer? As I have said, Ella did not define what he was writing against. Now, to misuse terms leads only to confusion. So, even though it is not entirely satisfactory, since Ella has attacked me for holding to the free offer, The best I can do is to state what I think he meant by it. I do so by taking Peter L. Menne's words in his introduction to Ella's book and sticking as close as I can to them. This, therefore, is what I think Ella meant by the free offer preacher. The free offer preacher is compelled to invite all sinners to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, promising them salvation if they do. This he does while holding that Christ's atonement was neither made for all nor intended for all who hear the gospel message. It is not the preacher only with his limited knowledge, but the all-knowing eternal God who freely, sincerely, and genuinely offers salvation to all mankind. This is in spite of the Father's eternal purpose to save only the elect, the substitutionary nature of Christ's atoning work, and the distinguishing effectual call of the Holy Spirit. This is as close as I can get to Ella's view of the free offer. I do wish, however, he had defined it for himself, and then we would all have known precisely what it was he was trying to refute. I am truly sorry he at least implied that the definitions of the free offer are of little importance, to quote. In order to make some progress, however, as far as I can judge, this is what Ella was challenging. The free offer is the invitation to all sinners to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, promising them salvation if they do, even though Christ's atonement was neither intended for all nor accomplished for all. It's certainly what I understand by the free offer. Of course, there's much more to gospel preaching than this. In content, the whole of Scripture must be preached, centering on Christ and Him crucified. No element of truth can be omitted, and preaching involves declaring the gospel to sinners, calling them, trying to persuade them, commanding them, reasoning and pleading with them, warning them, and so on, in addition to inviting them. So I agree with Ella. Sinners must be called, commanded, even beseeched to repent and turn from their evil ways. Indeed, I would apply his words to more than calling and commanding sinners to repent, but more of this later. What was Ella's task? In writing against the free offer, the task Ella needed to address was this. Is the above statement scriptural? If not, he needed to show where it diverges from Scripture. In Menne's words, we ought to have had his sound reasons and solid scriptural principles argued out for us. The issue is not whether the free offer is Grotianism, Fullerism, or any other ism, but is it scriptural? Coming from the other direction, Ella gained nothing by proving the free offer is a contradiction of John Gill or William Huntingdon. He had no need to spill ink on such matters. By aiming at Fuller, he was aiming at the wrong target. The views of Gill and Huntingdon are not the standard. It is to the law and to the testimony we must turn. It is God's word we must tremble at. Nor was Ella's task, again using Menne's words, to prove that we cannot reconcile God's purpose to save only some, redeem only some, freely and unconditionally bestow the gift of faith on only some on the one hand, with a genuine free offer to all to believe and be saved on the other. There are many things in Scripture which we cannot reconcile. God calls us to believe and obey his word, to preach it, not to reconcile it. In my writing about the free offer, I have stated my position explicitly. We cannot and should not try to reconcile God's unknowable decree with his revealed desire as expressed in Scripture. I stand by it. I will develop the point as I go on. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. So let us not waste time in tackling the impossible by probing into the unknowable. Nor did Ella have to concern himself with preachers who do not believe and preach the gospel in line with what are commonly known as the doctrines of grace, the 5 points of Calvinism. Ella gained nothing, for example, by drawing attention to preachers who believe in a universal atonement and thus address sinners in an unbiblical way. It may well be the case, but it has nothing to do with what he was supposed to be refuting. Nor was Ella required to establish the doctrines of grace. This is not at issue. Obviously, I can speak only for myself, but I am sure all free offer preachers, as defined above, can say the same. I am in full accord with Ella's statement on a particular atonement, on the invincible work of the Spirit in turning man from damnation to salvation, and on the fact that Christ's atonement was not in vain, and those whom he aimed to save are saved. I believe it and preach it. I do not believe in a gospel of universal redemption, nor even of universal atonement. I never preach such a thing. Yes, belief comes solely through God's sovereign will. It is the gift of God. I preach it to sinners. Yes, in becoming a believer, a man is granted repentance, faith, justification. I am persuaded of it. I have no quarrel with Ella when he said the free offer preacher teaches that God genuinely offers forgiveness of sin and salvation to sinners, irrespective of the eternal decree of election, despite the particular substitutionary atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, and regardless of the distinguishing effectual call of the Holy Spirit. No quarrel with it. It is meat and drink to me, and describes my position as well as I could. The doctrines of grace are not at issue. I believe them and preach them to sinners. I believe and preach total depravity, unconditional election, particular redemption, effectual calling, and the perseverance of the saints. But none of this restricts the invitation to all sinners to come to Christ. The issue, I repeat, is not the doctrines of grace, but the way these doctrines are preached to sinners. I go further. Preaching doctrine as such is not the way to bring sinners to Christ. As I said earlier, the biblical way is to preach Christ and to woo men to him. I am one with Spurgeon when he declared, "I believe most firmly in the doctrines commonly called Calvinistic, but if any man shall say that the preaching of these is the whole preaching of the gospel, I am at issue with him." Brethren, you may preach those doctrines as long as you like, and yet fail to preach the gospel. Preach Christ, young man, if you want to win souls. Facts about Christ Jesus and the promise of life through him, these are the faith of the gospel. 2 issues to be faced: duty faith and God's desire to see sinners saved. What was Ella's task? He needed to show that the free offer is unbiblical, and then set out the truth. In my opinion, he failed to do it. Now, the question of the free offer is very serious and has large implications. Since, therefore, Ella challenged the doctrine behind the free offer, I want to look at his assertions and try to set out what I consider to be the biblical position. I restrict myself to 2 matters which Ella raised and denied. There is far more to preaching the gospel than these 2 points, I hasten to add, but since this is where he directed his attack on me, I confine myself to them. First, are sinners to be commanded to believe? That is, does the Bible teach what is commonly known as duty faith? Secondly, has God shown us in his word that while he has decreed the salvation of his elect, he has also shown a general desire for the salvation of all men, which desire has to be expressed in the preaching of the gospel to sinners? These 2 principles are fundamental to the free offer. To the first of them, I now turn.